This is bookcareers.com live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of bookcareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello and welcome to episode 79 of bookcareers.com live. Since the last episode, where we covered LinkedIn essentials, I've had loads of questions in my inbox about other social media, so let's cover it all. Some of this content has been extracted from my book, How to Job Search in Book Publishing, which is due to be published later this year. Let's start where we left off, with LinkedIn. LinkedIn are constantly bringing in new changes at the moment, and in between recording the last episode and it going live, LinkedIn launched a frame that goes around your profile photo and the Open to Work hashtag. Now, by all means, use the Open to Work hashtag to help you seek whatever opportunities you can. But as to the frame around your photo, I think it looks a little desperate. In fact, we took a poll on this with the Book Careers Job Club, and 25% said great to the new LinkedIn frame, 36% said it appears desperate, and 39% have said not sure. One client told me that they tried it out and then couldn't remove it, so I would hold back on using this Open to Work frame if I were you. Another new feature on LinkedIn is meant to help diversity and inclusion, is that if your name is difficult to pronounce, you can make a recording of how to pronounce your name. It's currently only available on the iPhone and Android apps at the moment. So I recommend that if your name isn't easily pronounceable or people are always mispronouncing your name, that you can record your name and then people can listen to that if they're looking at your profile. One thing to note about this is I expect that this is being done to help improve voice recognition software. So if you don't want your name to be recognized in the future via voice recognition software, that you don't use this feature. Now for the rest of social media. You've probably noticed at the moment that social media is a minefield. It seems so easy to say the wrong thing or to say the right thing but rephrase it poorly. And suddenly you're in part of some sort of Twitter storm for abuse. And this can impact both positively and negatively on your job search. I've had lots of questions about politics on Twitter and what are red flags to employers. If politics is your thing and it's something that you don't mind getting involved in, I would say, and providing you are on the side of inclusivity and not on the side of exclusion, I think you'll be okay. But imagine that you're a nice fluffy publisher and you're looking at somebody's Twitter feed and they're looking at your profile because you've linked it on your CV or said that you're open to work with LinkedIn or Twitter. So imagine that situation and then all they see is aggression. How do you think that will be perceived? It's very likely that they'll perceive that you'll take that aggression into the office. Now, ACAS do have guidelines on future employers checking people out on social media. But if the job you're applying for has any aspect of social media in it, then do expect to be checked out. What I suggest you do is try and have a balance between what you want to say and what you need to say. And as regards publishers, because I've had questions about what publishers tweet and why publishers don't get involved in certain causes or situations, just because somebody isn't tweeting about a cause, it doesn't mean they're not interested or they don't care. all publishers are really concerned about is producing great books. So if they're not following the same causes as you or tweeting about causes you like, then don't take that personally. They just don't want to get involved in any politics. You might notice that a lot of the time at Book Careers, we stay silent on things. That's mainly because we like to be non-political. We work with everybody regardless. Okay, I might not work with a few racists, but I do work with everybody else. However, I don't want to get Book Careers' name dragged into something that isn't necessarily representative of our neutral position. And that's maybe where you might want to place yourself and think about how you tweet just while you're job hunting. If you're tweeting something that's political, yes, support causes if that's what you want to do. But if it's something highly controversial, sometimes silence is golden. In the same way, you should also be careful about what tweets you like, as Twitter may show other people who are following you what tweets you have liked. Should you put in your profile that all the tweets are your own views and not of your employer's? If you're employed by someone, often this is a clause in your contract of employment. You should also check your contract of employment for guidance about social media use, as often inappropriate posts, regardless of whether they were on the company account or not, can lead to gross misconduct and instant dismissal. I would say that if you're without a job and tweeting, and you're tweeting something controversial, then it's a good thing to claim ownership of your tweets, but that's your decision. Someone has asked that if they're starting a new social media account, such as a Bookstagram relating to books and publishing, should you mention this in a job application or wait until you're more established or experienced? I would say that if the job you are applying for needs these social media skills and you've got these accounts, however early they are in their creation, it might be a good idea to mention them. But also mention if you've used any social media for any other organisation or purpose. But do make sure it's up to date and fresh. If someone applies for a job that involves social media, you will look up their social media. And if it's new and fresh, great. But if you're saying that you've got a link to a blog, your personal blog, and the last post was 3 years ago, that's not good. The only exception might be if it was a business blog and you're no longer working for the company. But if it's a personal blog and you're pushing it, then I would only say to do so if you're absolutely confident that it's going to show the best of your skills. This brings us on to blogging and the minefield as to whether your blog is killing your job search. There's a whole podcast episode on that, and it's actually episode 28 that covers blogging to get a job. And one of the main things you need to be careful of when you've got a blog are things like, is your name spelt correctly, or the name of the university you've been at, if you're mentioning that in the about page, is that spelt correctly? I see it happen all the time, so do check some of the regular details rather than just proofread every single post. Well, obviously you will proofread every single post. As for the subjects you blog about, it is always better to blog about things you know rather than come from a position of naivety. So if you're thinking of starting a blog, this is my publishing job search, you come across as really naive. But if you think starting a blog, these are the books I've read, then you come across as knowledgeable. And that's what I always recommend if you're looking for a job find a subject where you're coming from a position of knowledge, and often it's much better to contribute to someone else's blog if you're sure that they have the same standards of editorial and design that you have. If the design of something is terrible, it can actually impact on your career and job search. So I do recommend that you know that if you're doing any side hustles, any external projects, that they're really doing you a favour rather than holding you back. I've been asked a question about which social media platform is the most effective for a job hunt. If I had to describe each social media, LinkedIn is like the business conference, Facebook is like being in the pub with your mates, Twitter is like the water cooler in the office, you know, where you might go and chat. So Twitter is good for chat and good for picking up things if you're looking for a job on social media. Instagram is like the display at the art gallery, and if you're design minded or creative, then Instagram could be a place for you to perhaps get noticed, but I haven't heard of many people getting jobs through Instagram. My number one is LinkedIn, and I know I go on and on about LinkedIn all the time, but if you're in the world of work, you should be on LinkedIn whether you're in a job or not, because LinkedIn really is key to finding work or finding contacts if you're in a job and doing business for your employer. So LinkedIn is really good. Twitter is good for social networking. I'd all say Twitter because if the job that you're going for involves using Twitter in a job, sometimes those vacancies are only advertised on Twitter. So I would say my default would be Twitter and LinkedIn. And if you're creative, if you have to create content and images within a job, then Instagram. And then I had a question from someone who prefers to be passive rather than an active participant on social media as to which social media platforms are important to have a presence on, and do you need to be posting and interacting and getting your name out there? Now, this is what LinkedIn is brilliant for, because LinkedIn, you can be passive, and as long as you're adding connections and your profile's good, you can be passive on LinkedIn. This is why LinkedIn is turning into more like Facebook to make people log in every day and update statuses, but you don't have to post things on LinkedIn to be found. You do need to be posting and interacting to getting your name out there on Twitter. And I would say that if you find social media a struggle, then don't force it on yourself. It isn't necessarily going to be the one thing that helps you get a job. It's going to be a collective of things that help you get a job. The only time I would say it's critical for you to be on Twitter or any other social media is if you're going for jobs that have a social media element. The next question I received was, when I see a publisher post an entry to mid-level role, there are always hundreds of people interacting with the post. I'm aware that these positions always receive a lot of applications in general, but seeing these numbers physically on Twitter often makes me feel as though I shouldn't even bother applying, and so I often don't and give up sending an application because of this. Do you have any advice on getting over these negative feelings? Now, my answer is, this is my bugbear, that when you see an entry-level job or when I tweet about a paid internship, it gets masses of retweets. But when I tweet about a proper paid job that's above editorial assistant level, it gets a handful of tweets. So, you know, if I tweeted today and saying about a minimum wage internship, there'd be so much interaction. But if I tweeted a proper job, then there'd be limited interaction. What I would say is that by never applying for something because you think there are too many applicants, you're never going to get a job. but you're always going to have an opportunity to get a job if you have your name in the ring. You know, it's about throwing your hat into the ring. So you must ignore how many people are retweeting something, because people retweet things mainly because they're not going for them themselves. They also retweet things to try and get followers and to get interaction and share the information. But with entry-level jobs, it's because there are far more people looking for editorial entry-level jobs than there are entry-level jobs available. So you will always get more interaction. And if there was a job that I saw on Twitter that I was going to go for myself, I would not retweet it, you know. I'd keep it to myself. And that's often why there are more people retweeting entry-level jobs, because there are more senior people that are retweeting entry-level jobs. It doesn't mean the people who are tweeting the entry-level jobs are actually entry-level. But if you see a job advertised that meets your skills, then of course go for it, regardless of the number of tweets you've seen on it, and regardless of the number of people who've liked it or interacted with it. You know, jobs with 600 applicants, one person in that 600 could get that job, and that could be you. But you're never going to get that job if you don't have your application in the hat. The last question for today isn't really social media based, but it's one that's essential within job hunting. And that is, how do I learn to cope with rejection? And the response from the job club on this, and I do love the job club very, very dearly. There's such a wealth of talent within the job club. Rebecca from the job club said, you cope with rejection by eating cake. But what I would say is that one of the keys to coping for not getting a job you really want is by going for another job that you really want. In the old days, the Guardian media pages used to come out on Monday, and the bookseller jobs used to come out on Friday. And I used to tell clients to apply for something on a Monday, apply for something on the Friday, and on a Wednesday, follow up with your leads and contacts. And so that you've always got new jobs in the pipeline. And that by keeping a constant wealth of job applications flowing, I know that's really difficult at the moment, but by always looking forward to the next application, it does ease some of the pain. And with the pain, what I suggest you do, this was suggested to me a very, very long time ago, is to have a memory box. So I have a memory box of photos, newsletters, things that bring me joy, that completely take my mind off my work and the situations I might find myself in. So that by opening the memory box, everything instantly becomes forgotten, and I'm looking at things that only bring me joy. And if you haven't got a memory box, now's the time to start collating one and putting things all together to bring you happiness whenever you need it. Now, the thing is with job rejections is very often you get rejected for the job because it's the wrong job for you. So be grateful that you didn't get the job, and remember that somewhere out there, there's a job with your name on it. You just need to find it. Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag BookCareers, or on Twitter at BookCareers, or me personally, Suzanne Collier. or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.